Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Radio that you control. The call-in number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Nikki,
and it's Ian.
And we have someone on the line. We have Sarah on the line from New Mexico. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Anyone say that I have to get off the speakerphone.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So our governor has decided that New Mexico is going to be like 43% of the carb by 2027 has to be clean energy standard. It's either electric or hydro powered based cars.
By 2027.
So we're just...
What percentage?
43%.
43%.
So how do they come up with that number, and how are they going to force people to part with their older cars that they want to drive?
Wait. Is this for cars on the road or cars that are being manufactured?
It'd be easier to get a percentage of cars being manufactured.
Right. Which one is it, Sarah?
It's for all the new cars purchased.
Okay. Right.
So they just pulled it out.
Yeah,
but.
And I know, it just seems a very random, obscure number. I'm sure somebody calculated it somehow. But a lot of the, I know, was it Chevy maybe? There's a few different car companies that are getting rid of, like, internal combustion engines.
Completely?
Yeah.
Wow.
And just going, either hybrid or, like, a lot of, they don't even make manuals anymore.
Jeez.
They're kind of phasing out a lot of, like, the sports cars. There was one company that was getting rid of, like, trucks and SUVs. They're just, and it seems like it's just because they're trying to appease the government. They're probably getting money. They're probably getting threatened.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like something the market truly wants based on the people I'm talking to.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't sound right at all.
Well,
what you're talking about here is the government trying to force a marketplace to do something that it may not do on its own. And, of course, they've been subsidizing a lot of these alternative power systems for some time. The question is, if these subsidies ever dry up, will people still have the same interest in buying the battery-powered cars and such? And,
I mean, if it was like... No government interference and the market was free and anyone could choose whatever car they wanted at all. I'm sure that people would still choose these cars, especially people who didn't have that much money and they just have a commuter car and they want to have a car that doesn't cost them a lot in gas getting back and forth.
But it costs a lot to buy the car.
Yeah, they're typically pretty expensive, a lot of the electric cars.
No, what about hybrids? The hybrids?
So like a Prius, you can get like a used Prius and it'll be really good on gas. So that's one thing, but even so much of the things that they're phasing out in car manufacturing, and they're doing a lot to, you know, add all of this technology, like the turn-off switches and all of this weird security technology that's really kind of spyware and just a way to take personal power out of, you know, owning a car so you can't work on it yourself. They're making it really
I've heard that really, about the Teslas. You cannot do that yourself.
You can't even buy the parts.
And
they won't even sell parts.
You can't even take it to, like, your normal car shop. You have to go to the dealer.
Yeah, it's written in the contract when you buy the car or whatever
car
agreement.
If your car shop has an agreement with Tesla, then but you have
to. So they have to be an authorized.
Process. Yeah.
Repair shop, which means it costs more because they got to pay for that.
Absolutely.
Now, you're saying the thing is that here in New Mexico, we're the voters here, the residents have voted mostly for Democratic governor, Democratic mayor, Democratic, and they're all, the Democrats are all about clean energy.
That's
so
kind of like a
flex the population of what people want. If we didn't
like
want
scam,
these,
though,
we'd be voting Republican.
If there's only two options and they're mostly voting Democrat because they believe in things like maybe they have a false impression of what Democrats are actually about and they just think they don't want to pay for war or, you know, they think all these things that are just kind of like sound bite ideas. But that doesn't mean that someone voting Democrat is saying, like, agreeing, writing their name on the dotted line saying, I want to not be have the choice to buy a car that runs on gas.
Well, yeah, I think the point that you're making here is when someone casts a vote, it doesn't necessarily mean that they agree completely with the person with whom they're voting. A lot of people vote negatively. They vote to prevent.
Yeah.
They say, well, I don't want Trump in,
yeah,
and so they vote for the other guy.
Evils.
Right? They don't know what the other guy even stands for.
Maybe a bunch
of
busybodies.
No, he's not Trump.
Like Sarah are just going around saying, this other guy's racist, and then they're voting because they're like, oh, well, I wouldn't want to have a racist in office, so I'm going to vote against him. And now Sarah's claiming that they agreed to this. Well, you wanted this. You wanted 43% of vehicles to be electric or hydro by 2027 because you voted for a Democrat when they never said any such thing.
See, Sarah, the thing is...
Wait a minute. I'm an Albuquerque voter. Yeah. I voted for all Democratic governor, mayor, everybody. I could possibly vote for Democrat, and I am in favor of this.
I'm sure you are.
You also don't even like cars, though.
Well, the difference between what you're talking about and if there really was a demand, you're saying this is what people want, okay? If it's true that this is what people want, then that is what they will buy, and there wouldn't need to be a mandate. The fact that there's a mandate suggests that this is political, that somebody is going to benefit from this, whether it be the battery manufacturers or the electric car companies or whoever it is. Somebody is going to benefit from this law being passed. That's why it's being passed, because if people just wanted hybrids or if people just wanted electric cars in the numbers that you're talking about, Sarah, they would just buy them. And then those companies would say, well, this is what people want, so we're just going to start making half electric and half gas, and that you wouldn't need to have a law to mandate it.
I wonder how many fossil fuels are used to build all these cars and to transport them. How much gas is used?
I'm told that in California, their enforcement is that if you refuse to buy the clean energy car, when you register a car, they'll charge you another $5,000 fee.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. It's immoral.
Well, I mean, think of this. So what if, let me paint a picture for you. What if there's a single mom, you know, she's poor, she can't afford to buy a new car, so the only car she has is an old beat-up car that takes gas, and, you know, she can hardly afford to even register it, but that's how she gets her kids to school, that's how she gets to work, that is how she takes care of her family and puts food on the table and pays the rent. So now the state of California wants her, still, well, even if it was a new car and that's, the, you know, the
California,
one that she could afford, either way,
registering.
It's immoral to fine somebody for, a personal life decision. Like, I just don't, it's all a scam. Gas-powered cars aren't even necessarily worse for the environment. Think of all of the, you know, like I just mentioned, all of the fossil fuels that are burned to transport all these parts and to create these electric cars. Think of the slave children that are mining the lithium to create these batteries. Never mind, after the batteries were done with them, after they die, because they do die quick, we're just going to throw them in the ocean or in a landfill.
No one wants to think about the,
Sarah specifically doesn't. She doesn't care about slave kids. The only people she empathizes with are female homeless people. And she doesn't even realize when something could benefit them, like, you know, legalizing prostitution. She just wants them to live the life that she wants. I don't know why, but Sarah has very little empathy for anyone other than female homeless people.
Well, you know, the thing is, if you could afford to buy a new car, all the cars are going to have a standard featured auto brakes, auto cameras, all that built into it.
So why not buy electric also?
Because they're more expensive.
I mean,
but the other thing
they're
is literally more expensive.
I don't want to plug my car in.
You didn't say in California that it's for buying a new car. You said it's for registering a car. So that wouldn't have to be only on new cars.
No, registering a brand new car.
But either way, it is more expensive to buy an electric vehicle.
It's more expensive, and it's a big pain in the butt as far as I'm concerned, because you can only charge it at so many different places.
Yeah, you're going to install a place to charge it at your house.
It takes a lot of time to charge it when you're on the road. You can't just swing up to a gas station, pump for 2 minutes, and pay the bill and go. It's like, okay, you got a half hour, you got an hour. I don't even know. It's like a different level. It depends on the amount of power at the charger, so there's different levels. This is the basic amount of research I've done into it. I haven't done a lot, but the Tesla chargers out there, they're not all like built the same. It depends on the power that's feeding into it. So it might be 15 minutes that you have to wait. It might be an hour that you have to wait before you can drive it for another...
If you don't want to pay as much, you wait an hour.
20 miles or whatever, right? So, like, no, I don't want to spend that kind of time.
I think the most important thing is what Nikki already mentioned, that it costs diesel, probably, mostly, to... mine the stuff out of the ground. Like, think of, I don't know what these things are called because I'm not a truck person, but, like, the bulldozer-type things that are used to mine. Those things take diesel. They're not electric.
Yeah, they're not running on electricity.
They don't have a sundial on top of their car.
Sundial.
I meant to say
solar panel.
There we go.
No, but that is something that they are doing out in California. They are mandating that all equipment that is, like, lawn equipment, for instance, has to now be electric-powered lawn equipment, and that's even true, I believe, for, generators. You cannot buy a new generator in California now as of this last session. The California legislature made it so everybody that's doing, like, lawn work has to be using electrical equipment, which means that they're constantly going to be buying and changing batteries out.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to keep dying 30 minutes into your lawn work. And
it's going to be more expensive because all of these electric lawn apparatuses are more pricey to purchase the equipment. Not even talking about the batteries you have to buy. They're going to have banks and banks of batteries now in the truck or whatever that they're going to have to go to the jobs with a bunch of charged batteries. So adding the cost of the batteries in, adding the cost of having to change out all your old equipment from gas operated to electric, the price to have some guy do your lawn work in California is going to shoot up.
I hadn't even really considered like professional landscapers.
Yeah.
That's pretty terrible. Like, they're basically forcing them to have or make less money doing their job unless they want to pay people way more. Well, thank you for the call, Sarah. The only other stuff we have really on this Washington White House story was...
Where they want to block the sun?
Yeah. The only other thing I really want to say about this thing, and then we can go on to your prediction...
They tried that in The Matrix, by the way, and it didn't work very well.
Oh, yeah, that's... like.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like I've seen this in a movie.
They scorched the skies, right, to fight the machines?
Yep.
Because they were solar-powered?
Luckily, the most important thing I want to say from this article is that there's no government policy attached to this document yet, as it's just a research document.
Yes.
So.
Keyword.
They're just talking about
keyword.
It.
Exactly. Yep.
I just don't want to freak people out that it's, imminent. It'll probably eventually happen, but it's not happening right this second.
Well, I hope not.
I really hope, because there's so many things going on where I'm like, I can't believe people don't just wake up, like see that what is going on is wrong. It just seems so obvious to me. But this thing in particular, I really, really hope that people like hear this, even like normies out there, and they're like, no, absolutely not. That is insane.
There's a reason to be somewhat optimistic, I think, on this one, and this story didn't point that out. But within the environmental movement, there's a schism over this. Okay, so within the environmental movement, there are people who understand that this is not going to, if indeed, let's accept the idea that global climate change or whatever is a problem, right? I don't accept that personally because I think, the Earth's going to change, the climate's going to change over time. It's just, you got to deal with it. But let's accept that it's a problem. Well, now we're in the environmental movement. Now you have to figure out, what do you do as a result of accepting this as a problem? What is the solution to the problem? Well, over in this camp that we were just talking about, there's these people talking about, we need to put mirrors in space. We need to seed the clouds. We need to, all the things that we were just discussing. And then these other people are saying, no, that doesn't actually solve the problem. You're talking about doing things that might affect the symptoms, but might not, and actually may make things much worse. So there are actually there's a sizable amount of people within the environmental movement who also agree that this is insane and that this should not be done at all.
If the next crisis is a climate one that they're going to have us locked in our houses for, I'm sure that those scientists who disagree with the consensus are going to get, you know, put to death and lose their whatever kind of licenses they have or credentials they have. Well, don't you have more predictions?
Oh, I got more predictions. You're talking about from 1970?
Yep.
Where this was the very first year of Earth Day, and it's now been more than 50 years since these predictions happened, and we went through a couple of them. I'm not going to go through all of them, but here's a couple more or a few more for you here. One of these guys, Paul Ehrlich, in an essay entitled Eco Catastrophe, he said this, quote, "Most of the people who are going to die in the greatest cataclysm in the history of man have already been born. By 1975, so 5 years or 6 years after the essay was written, some experts feel that food shortages will have escalated the present level of world hunger and starvation into famines of unbelievable proportions. Other experts, more optimistic, think the food population collision will not occur until the decade of the 1980s.
So they were still doing overpopulation hoax back then.
Mm-hmm. Ehrlich sketched out his most alarmist scenario for the 1970 Earth Day issue of The Progressive, assuring readers that between 1980 and 1989, some 4 billion people on the planet, now think about, what is there, 7 or 8 billion today?
Yeah.
Right? Back then, there wasn't 7 or 8 billion. I don't know what the total would have been in, you know, 1980, but let's just say it was 6. He's talking about 2/3 of the world's population being wiped out in the next 20 years from when he wrote the essay. And he said they would perish in what he called the Great Die-Off. Didn't happen. In fact, there's more people than ever.
And how many people did that scare into, you know, not living their life to the fullest and developing anxiety disorders?
My friend, was that like mainstream news?
I don't know how mainstream it was. It was in the Progressive magazine, and it was a celebration of Earth Day.
Yeah, I'm wondering how many people actually read that.
But a lot of this stuff gets publicized today. You've got people like this Greta Thunberg or Al Gore trotting out similar predictions. Like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I'm sure we could look it up. But I think Gore or Thunberg or whatever said that within the next decade or 12 years, we're all going to be dead, or you know, we'll have no life in the future or something like that. And it's like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Dennis Hayes, the chief organizer for Earth Day, said in the 1970 spring issue of The Living Wilderness, quote, "It's already too late to avoid mass starvation." Peter Gunter, a North Texas State University professor, wrote in 1970, quote, "Demographers agree almost unanimously on the following grim timetable. By 1975, widespread famines will begin in India. These will spread," which, by the way, is now hitting over a billion population, and India is expected to overtake China as the most populated country on Earth this summer. It's expected to overtake them. So they seem to be doing okay. I mean, there's still a lot of poverty there, but they're not dying off.
They're not dying off, yeah.
These famines will spread by 1990 to include all of India, Pakistan, China, and the Near East, Africa. By the year 2000, or conceivably sooner, South and Central America will exist under famine conditions. By the year 2000, 30 years from now, the entire world, with the exception of Western Europe, North America, and Australia, will be in famine.
So, yeah, none of this happened.
No.
Yep, it's pretty ridiculous.
And that's because, well, one of the things I think I want to point out about these people like this, who still exist today, and they have different predictions of doom today, these are people who exist in what I think is best described as a lack mentality.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who believe that there's a finite amount of whatever, whether it be oil or energy or money or whatever, the thing is that it's going to run out. It's going to run out! And what they don't understand is that humans are ingenious, like as a species. Like, we figured out a bunch of really cool things to do with stuff that was previously thought of like as a nuisance. So oil, of course, is a great example of this. At one time, oil was considered a pollutant. It was a, if you found it in your farmland, you were mad about it.
Oh, look at this garbage.
Yeah, how am I going to grow crops in this? Right?
And now if you find it, you're rich.
Now, exactly.
Or you get invaded by the U.S.
Because somebody figured out you can burn that stuff, and that it's actually really, really useful. So human innovation brings new ideas to the table that didn't exist in 1970 and 1980 and so on, that these people could not fathom, they couldn't foresee. And, of course, there's always people that have been, you know, the negative talkers, right? You'll never fly. You, Wright brothers, you'll never, right? Like, so there's been so many of these people over history who have been the negative Nancys, the ones that do not believe that we can overcome the obstacles that may be present, that these, you know, there may be some real problems out there. But can we achieve, can we rise above those things? Absolutely.
They can't imagine it.
They cannot imagine it. And so their solution is to crack down. Their solution is to restrict. Their solution is to control.
We got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet because it's going to be horrible either way. The outcome is going to be horrible no matter what.
It's so crazy that we're like, as the people that are in power, the politicians, these are the people that are living in that fear state and in that, you know, lack mentality. Like, these are the people that society is listening to for guidance.
Well, the politicians aren't living in lack, right? Like, they've got a ton of whatever they want to have.
But the experts, right? Like, the scientific experts and that, the girl, you know, Greta Thunberg. Yeah, the...
She's flying around on private jets.
We're listening to this, like, 16-year-old girl who's spewing all this fear and nonsense.
You don't think she's flying on private jets? I think they confronted her about that.
She out front says that she doesn't. She rides trains everywhere that she goes, and she posted a picture the other day that was like, when you don't ride it, and I'm not saying this is cool or something, it's silly. She said, posted a selfie of herself, and she said, whenever you are committed to not taking, like, private jets, this is what your travel situation can look like. Sometimes 5 days, this is like my fifth day in a row being on a train. Like, traveling for 5 days on a train just because you don't want to take a jet?
Yeah, it's a weird flex.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's just so dumb. She's not helping anyone.
The prediction, by the way, of famine they add here in South America is only partially true, but only in Venezuela and only because of socialism.
Yeah.
Not for environmental reasons, which is great. That's a great point, right? Number nine here on this list, and again, I skipped a few, but in 1970 of January, Life magazine reported, quote, scientists have solid experimental and theoretical evidence to support the following predictions. In a decade, urban dwellers will have to wear gas masks to survive air pollution.
Oh my God.
By 1985, air pollution will have reduced the amount of sunlight reaching Earth by one half.
Oh my God.
1985.
Oh, so maybe we should do that to fight global warming. Maybe we just need more air pollution.
Yeah, just strip out all the stuff from the cars, right? The catalytic converter.
So here, he's saying that as if sunlight being reduced by one half would be a bad thing.
Indeed, that's a good point. That's a great point. That their message changes based on whatever is convenient for them at the time. Ecologist Kenneth Watt told Time magazine that, quote, at the present rate of nitrogen buildup, it's only a matter of time before light will be filtered out of the atmosphere and none of our land will be usable.
Wow. Well, as far as these people being in a mentality of lack, we do have a article coming up next about meditation, something that may help you with that. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
USA News Update. USA News Update. The Justice Department's reviewing a federal court's decision to limit the Biden administration's communications with social media companies.
They're going to look into, evaluate our options.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said the administration certainly disagrees with the ruling. Republican states have sued the administration, alleging it colluded with social media sites to censor conservative voices during the COVID pandemic and about elections. The Pentagon will make changes to how military personnel access classified information following a massive leak of top-secret documents earlier this year. An internal review of policies concluded the Defense Department should improve security posture and accountability measures. It determined, however, that it does not have a widespread issue with keeping its secrets safe. The review comes after a junior Air National Guardsman allegedly leaked hundreds of top-secret documents online. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the number if you'd like to talk about anything we're talking about or bring up your own subject. You can talk about whatever you want. It's Free Talk Live for a reason. It's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, you've got Bonnie,
Nikki,
and Ian.
And we were talking in the last segment about people who predict death and
disaster
in the near future. Back in the 1970s, Ian's been just reading off a whole bunch of different predictions from different scientists or whatever, you know, clerics of the state that decided or, you know, predicted that, you know, 80% of the animals were going to die in 10 years because of global warming or, you know, I can't remember another example, but
basically we're all dead right now.
Oh, in 5 years, one half of the population is going to be starving from famine because of global warming.
They yeah, 4 billion people were going to die, according to one guy.
They were also claiming that the sun might, I don't even know their reasoning for this, but they were saying that the sunlight might, oh, pollution. They were saying because of pollution, sunlight won't be able to get into the atmosphere. But,
by one half, sunlight would be reduced, according to this, by 1985.
But nowadays, the Washington is looking, or the, I keep calling it the Washington, the White House is looking into how to block out sunlight, mm-hmm. as if it's a good thing now.
Now sunlight's the enemy, we want to get rid of it.
Sunlight is bad because it's warm, and global warming is bad. But in more uplifting news, I'd say, Nikki has a story for us about meditation.
Yeah, so there could be a link between meditation and gut health, but it's complicated. So researchers recently flew the fecal samples of 37 Buddhists from monasteries high in the Tibetan mountains to a lab in Shanghai. The purpose for this high altitude, yeah, it starts off, we jump right into it. So the purpose for this high altitude journey, okay, they say it like it's a question. So the purpose of this high-altitude journey is to see how the composition of the monks' samples, markers of their gut health, differed from that of their neighbors. The main
presuming that the monks are spending a lot of time meditating.
Yeah. Okay. So the main lifestyle difference the researchers were interested in was the fact that these monks meditated for over 2 hours a day. They wondered if the meditation might have an impact on the microbiome, which is the types of amounts of bacteria found in the gut.
Okay, so just to be clear, they're studying the fecal matter of the monks in comparison to people in the near area who are not monks, so therefore they would be eating a similar diet, is the idea?
Yeah, because I would think that would have a huge role in it as well, you know, as well as lifestyle, but yeah, I think food might be the biggest factor. So the resulting study published in the British Medical Journal found that the monks had higher quantities of certain bacteria that are associated with lower levels of depression, anxiety, and cardiovascular disease. The exciting findings caught the attention of the outlets like The Guardian, Healthline, and others. So does the study show that meditation is good for the gut and subsequently good for your overall health? Unfortunately, it is not so clear-cut. And because when you think about it, I would also think that these monks would have other really healthy lifestyle habits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're probably not drinking alcohol. They're probably not eating, you know, processed foods. Mm-hmm. They might even be gardening themselves.
They
have a very, you know, like peaceful, low stress lifestyle.
I believe they spend a lot of time in the sun. To take back our last story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sun.
And did it say they were at a high altitude as well?
Yes, okay. So that also could
be a factor.
So, who knows? There's a lot of factors. I'm not sure how much I would really take home from that study. Emryn Mayer, MD, a gastroenterologist from UCLA Medical School, he's also a professor, Seed Health board member, and the author of the book, The Mind-Gut Connection.
Should have been to look at just the monks and then, because they presumably are all eating from the same meals, right?
Yeah.
Like they're doing, you know, large cooks for the full, what do you call it, where monks live?
The monastery?
Monastery, thank you, yeah. Monastery. And then divvy them up by half, and so study half of them and send them to, like, a 10-day meditation retreat and just have the other ones do their normal monkly things.
Yeah, monkly.
And then, you know... Then take a look at the half that were meditating for 10 days and look at the other half that were just gardening and doing the other things they were doing and see if there's any difference there.
Yeah.
But to compare them to the average population, like you said, it's going to bring in alcohol and things like that.
Yeah, it's not quite so isolated. So Dr. Mayer says that the technical methods the researchers used to analyze the samples were outdated. The study size as a whole was small, and the control group, just 19 people, was not robust enough to draw conclusions of difference from. He's skeptical the samples could maintain their integrity even in a refrigerated box for a trip down a mountain on a plane. Most studies, he says, require very controlled sample collection that happens in a lab. This guy just seems like he's totally like being very negative.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, I'm from UCLA, so meditation isn't real.
They would believe that.
Yeah. So he also points out that diet and the sedentary lifestyle of monks was not taken into account. I would think that they wouldn't have a sedentary lifestyle.
No, that's why I brought up the sun, because I don't even know where I am thinking of this, but I think they sit outside specifically and meditate. So they sit outside with, like, maybe with their eyes closed, maybe with their eyes, like, focusing on one thing far away and just meditate outside specifically.
They probably sit inside and outside depending on the weather, would be my guess. But
I mean, I'm sure it snows a lot in Tibet because that's where, and in the mountains because it's Nepal where the Mount Everest is.
Are these hardcore people that can just sit out in the middle of, you know, like Wim Hof who can just sit in an ice bath.
Yeah. I'm sure a Tibetan monk would be the type of person
could
that
do
could
do that, yeah.
Well, yeah, there was the whole, I heard a story about Tibetan monks taking a soaking hot towel, and then you could see the steam literally rising off of the towel because they could increase their body temperatures to dry the towels. So they can do all sorts of crazy stuff.
They're the same ones that work on coals, or at least, like, I'm pretty sure that's where it originated. Like, tell their body that's fine.
And it is like a very, you know, Wim Hof-esque thing because it's very similar to what he does where, using different mindfulness techniques and breathing techniques, he's able to control his body temperature and, you know, reduce stress and disease and all these other things.
Well, really, I don't even need a UCLA scientist man to tell me that it would probably be good for bacteria that lives in your body, for your body to be for your mind to be a pleasant place, because if you're really stressed out and worried and stuff, it's bad for the cells that are in your body, and that makes sense that your body would be inhospitable to good bacteria living in your gut, in my opinion. I really believe that you can turn diseases and things around with your mindset and not get them started.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with that as well. I think a lot of disease out there is just manifested by people through their negativity and through their worrying. And possibly through, you know, the things they put into their bodies.
Well, I mean, and it is scientifically proven that stress is the number one factor. I don't want to say the number one factor. That might not be correct. But it's a huge factor in cardiovascular disease, heart attack. So just the cortisol levels and, you know, your body's response to these high stress. Because when you think of it, your body's fight or flight mechanisms, if you think that, you know, your body can't tell the difference between different kinds of stress, right? So even if you're stressed out about work or something like that, your body's essentially reacting like you're in grave physical danger.
Right.
So it shuts off your body's other, you know, like digestion, and it shuts off your body's other mechanisms.
It focuses on that, what do we do about this right now?
Exactly.
Kind of reaction.
So it's shutting off your body's other mechanisms that aren't necessarily needed if you're fighting for your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that includes your immune system.
Yes.
Yep. So it does make sense that, you know, meditation, because that's been proven to lower stress and depression and anxiety, to me it does make a lot of sense. And
absolutely.
This other doctor, Martin J. Blaser, he's a professor in Henry Rutter's chair of the human microbiome at Rutter's Robert Wood Johnson Medical College. It's quite the name. Thought the study was well conducted, but didn't think meditation could be pinpointed as the defining factor that accounted for potential differences in the microbiomes of the monks versus the control group.
I agree, because you ultimately, it's just, you know, correlation is not causation. So
yeah, you can't pinpoint it as the ultimate cause, but I would say that there's probably a whole bunch of different things about their lifestyle that, you know,
yeah. I mean, I would like to see this study reconducted, you know, with different groups. I think, you know, the monks, that's a pretty extreme sample. But I think if they took a group of, you know, 100 or 500 people, took before and after samples of after a long term, maybe a year or 6 months, and just had them do at least, you know, 15-minute meditations or something like that, I think that could maybe be a more accurate representation.
Yeah, like
You know.
Lots of people do this, but Joe Dispenza, he's a doctor that wrote the You Are the Placebo, among other books, and he's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
He does these retreats where people will come to him and they'll meditate like crazy. It's like, you know, you get put on a rigorous routine with him, and maybe they could implement that in his thing, you know, like studying the microbiome when the people first arrive. Mm-hmm. And then comparing it after, like, their 2 weeks that they've been getting up every day and meditating for 3 hours a day or whatever they do.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be really interesting. And, I mean, they do call the gut the second brain for a reason, because it has a huge role in our overall health. So the article goes on to say that Dr. Mayer's skepticism for the Tibetan monk study in particular does not mean that he thinks the theory itself doesn't hold water. A longtime meditation practitioner, And him and his wife were actually married at a Tibetan monastery in Kathmandu. So it sounds like he's a fan of
meditation.
Wait,
the guy from UCLA?
Yeah, the guy that was being skeptical of it. So it sounds like, yeah, I think he just wanted to be well balanced. Like, you know, this might not be a very accurate study, but it still could, you know, hold some weight. So he's an expert in studying the connection between the gut, body, and the brain. Dr. Mayer says it makes sense that meditation could impact the microbiome in a positive way. It's all down to the growing body of research showing that meditation can possibly reduce stress, and evidence is amassing that stress can wreak havoc on the gut. When we're stressed, our sympathetic nervous system gets activated, which is, this is kind of what I was saying. That activation changes the environment in which the microbiome lives, their habitat. Dr. Mayer says including blood flow, contractions, mucus production, and more, certain neurotransmitters like norepinephrine can make their way into the gut, which modifies gene expression of the microbiome. So it sounds like there's, you know, some pretty extensive research already done on the topic.
It modifies the gene expression of the microbiome. That would be a lot like what they talk about in the book The Wisdom of Your Cells by Dr. Bruce Lipton, that your mind can literally, what they call, turn on and turn off certain genes, like turn off bad genes and turn on good ones in
What's
your body.
What's the word for that?
Like the phrase for it?
Yeah.
Well, this is called gene expression.
Yeah, there's some other word for it that that book, gene.
It was like my favorite word for several months when we read or listened to that book, but it's not coming to me, so I'm Googling it.
Yeah, it's basically where you can change your genes. The idea being that your genes are not set. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people believe, because science, quote unquote, the science has said over the years that, well, the way you're born is the way it's going to be. You got to always be this way. And they're finding out that you can actually change your genes through just, you know, focusing on
meditation
and things like that.
You know, when it's in your genes, so you have a family history of cancer or cardiovascular disease or whatever, I think not only can people, like, manifest that, so you're just, oh, well, I'm going to get it, so that kind of makes it so they're already, I mean,
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think maybe also sometimes people have a point of view like, well, you know, this runs in my family, so I might as well smoke and drink and be unhealthy because I'm going to die from it anyways. I think when people kind of have those mentalities versus the mentality of, no, I can heal myself, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make sure this doesn't happen, or at least to be as healthy as I possibly can, given the circumstances. I think those are two incredibly different mindsets.
It's a different, the difference is between someone who is reacting to life, to someone, and someone who is at the sort of the cause, the creation of themselves, as opposed to somebody who's just like, well, as you were saying, I can't change anything, so I'm just going to do what comes, whatever comes, I'll just deal with it, and I'll die early, or whatever. The people who are just sort of resigned to life happening to them, rather than being at the source of the creation of themselves. And it is a completely different mindset. And it's one that isn't really very, I think that, you found it, Bonnie?
Epigenetics.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Dang, I knew it was an E, and that's it.
Yeah, and people are programmed by the other generations that have come before them to follow in their footsteps and believe that it has to be this way because it's always been this way, and your dad did this, and your grandfather did this, so it's going to happen to you.
Or your genes are this way, and there's no way that you can change them, and it's just a concrete scientific idea that's actually really not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited that people are doing studies like this, and it's kind of getting into, like, mainstream medical research. And I'm also very happy that there are tons of books on concepts like this, like epigenetics and how your mind can control your health, and, I mean, controlling your reality, like law of attraction and manifestation. You know, people have been conducting their own personal experiments on stuff like that, but there's less concrete evidence to back that up. But I think we are seeing a lot of concrete evidence of how your mind and meditation and different practices can affect your health overall.
I think that the main reason that a mainstream scientist would want us to not understand epigenetics and believe that your genes are going to express whatever they're going to express, and it's there's
you're
nothing you can
in.
Do about it. It's because they the government and they the occultists running the government behind the scenes. They want us to be in a victim mentality, and they have so many different modalities to get people into victim mentality, whether it's like, oh, the color of your skin, you're oppressed because of that, you can't do any better because there are people out to get you. There are people that won't let you succeed because of the color of your skin, or it's you can't even do any, you can't not get cancer because your mom had cancer, so you might as well just worry about it. Because you're going to get it no matter when. There's nothing you can do to help. You're a victim.
Oh, looks like you're depressed and anxious. You're going to have to get on these pills for the rest of your life.
Well, and that was the other thing, right? Like, going to mental mental illness and depression. It's like, oh, well, it's not my fault. My a chemical imbalance in the brain. That's what they were referring to depression as. And I think it's kind of just, exactly, like it's just locking people into like, well, this is going to happen to me regardless, and you know, I need to take a pill for the rest of my life or else I'm just going to be really sad and depressed when there are so many other things.
And talk about what a self-fulfilling prophecy, like if I don't take this pill, I'm going to be sad. Yeah, there's no way that you're just not on purpose, but accidentally manipulating your brain to be that way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, given that there are actual studies that show that placebo can cure depression, I think that's proof enough that it is all in your head.
Okay. Well, yeah, and antidepressants have never done better than placebos.
That's true as well, yeah.
And, you know, you say that to somebody that has mental illness, and sometimes they'll get angry.
Oh, yes, they will, because they've believed
it
their whole life.
Yeah, exactly. So it's almost like they feel like that statement is attacking them.
Right.
But really, that should be, you know, once they're ready to hear it, that is the most inspirational thing. It's so empowering to say, no, I'm not a victim. I have control of my life.
But look, this man in a lab coat told me when I was a kid that this was always the way it was going to be. And
the guy getting a kickback from the pharmaceutical industry.
Right, getting cruises or whatever, right?
I feel like they get mad because it means that everything that has harmed them in their life because of this condition is their fault. But the thing is, that's the initial thing you got to deal with. Maybe the way I've been acting is a little bit my fault. Maybe that's going to be painful, but getting through that is going to make you open up your life to be so much better than living as a zombie on Zoloft or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I had my own like bouts of depression when I was in like middle school, high school, and if I heard somebody saying this, you know, it would probably
imbalance.
Well, and it was it's kind of, in a weird, messed up way, I almost liked being depressed. Like, it was cool and edgy.
You could talk about it with people.
Yeah, like, it was
other people were also depressed.
It was almost, like, comforting in a way. It's just, like, it's weird to even think about, and I can't.
It gets you attention.
Well, and that's the thing, too, but it's hard for me to even put it into words now because my mindset has changed so much. Like, it's almost hard for me to think about that.
How did it change for you?
Method. I mean,
I started meditating and doing yoga, and that's when I kind of, like, started opening my mind and exploring different things and was like, no. You know, I think it was more just, like, getting inspired.
And that's a great thing that young people really need to hear. If they truly feel depressed, and even if they're not on antidepressants or they are, they need to hear people saying, listen, I've dealt with the same thing, and now I can't even fathom feeling that way anymore because my life is so much better now and it's so far behind me. The term, it gets better, is a thing that people really do need to hear.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to point out that Adam in our Odyssey chat says, sending my letter tonight, dude. Good luck for Ian's.
Oh, that's very kind.
Oh, nice.
Since Ian
a letter to the judge.
Yeah.
You can go to letters.freetalklive.com. You do have probably about this month, maybe, to get it done, presuming my sentencing isn't pushed back, which it might be. But just presume you got the rest of the month to get those in. If you've been putting it off, now's a good time for it. Thank you.
And another person says, I'd write a letter, but it might end up putting me on some kind of a watch list.
Okay.
To me, I feel like that's just kind of cowardice. I mean, like, you're probably on a watch list anyway of some sort. The government's watching all of us.
I mean, everyone is.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a social security number, you're on a watch list, right?
Yeah. I think the people who are brave enough to put their own full name and describing themselves and their opinions about Ian and sending it to a judge are very brave, and I really appreciate them doing that. But I also do kind of think it's kind of cowardice to say, I would do a good thing, but I may have faced repercussions, so I'm not going to.
Well, that's okay. I'll probably be fine with or without the letter.
I'm sure you
but,
will.
You know, regardless, you know, coming back to the depression issue, I mean, look at all the negativity that people are dealing with, right? Like we were talking about these predictions from 1970 and the predictions of today that everyone's going to die.
Imagine believing that. How would you not be depressed?
And then they're constantly pushing this stuff on the kids in the schools these days. That's why we have teenagers and 20-somethings and, you know, millennials or whatever that literally believe that the world's going to end in their lifetime. And why should they bother having kids? Because, you know, the world's going to end. And, I mean, it's just there's so much negativity out there. But also the other side of that is, like, the right wing, for lack of a better term, the conspiracy theories about the chemtrails, as I was talking about before, that they're poisoning the water. All of these, again, this is all negativity that is literally poisoning people's minds. Whether or not the fluoride, probably not good to be in your water system. Okay, so I'm not saying things like that don't happen. But to constantly have that on your mind. It's like, if you really believe that chemtrails are out there, why aren't you wearing a gas mask when you walk around? If you really believe that that was what was going on. So it's like, there's just so much fear, and it's really,
sad. That's a good point. I think if people are going, I think it's a good idea to be aware of the things that are happening, but if you're not going to make changes to either protect yourself or change your life, then it's pointless. It's just, you know, constantly filtering through all that fear for literally no reason.
As far as the chemtrails, I think Ian projects a whole lot of fear onto. I'm not saying that project as in that you're actually fearful, but you imagine all this extra fear that I don't think everybody waving the flag about chemtrails necessarily has. Like, sure, there's probably crazy people out there who are crazy about it. Sure, but the average person.
About.
Yeah, but you're always acting like anyone who believes in chemtrails is like full of fear. I point them out all the time, but I'm not like, I need to run away. I can't live here. I got to find a place where there's no chemtrails.
Yeah, but you don't actually believe that.
Yeah, I do.
No, when you're pointing them out, you're just being silly.
No, I'm not. I just know that you think it's silly because
you don't think they're that dangerous then.
Well, I don't think that I need to not breathe in all the other good things in the air just because there's chemicals in it sometimes. And the other thing is, I just know that my body can transmute it. So you admit it. You just think that everybody who doesn't believe in chemtrails, that they're rational and crazy.
I
when there's
everybody.
Rational
You're the exception.
Evidence for it. Well, this has been a fun show. This has been Free Talk Live 603. Oh, wait, sorry. We'll be on tonight at 7 Eastern.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. FreeTalkLive.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.